Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm doing a special interview. I am joined with the very special, very talented Canadian fighter, Makai Morano. Makai, say what's up.
What's going on, people?
Cool. Well, basically, if you guys are new to my podcast show, you will find my podcast show in one of three places. I'm usually up at liverkick.com, me and my partner in crime, Dave Walsh. Dave usually does the podcast show with me. He had a throat injury last week. Shout out to Dave Walsh. Hope you get better. And then also shout out to Ryan Ventura, who was one of the commentators for the China versus Canada card that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But go to iTunes, enter LORDGAUL, and my kickboxing podcast show, the War Man Writes podcast show, pops right up. So thanks a lot to all the people out there supporting kickboxing, and I hope these interviews give you some insights to the young up-and-coming fighters in the world. So we'll go ahead and jump into it. We call him Kai, but Makai Morano, so if you hear me say Kai, that's what we're talking about. Kai, go ahead and tell the world how you got into Muay Thai kickboxing.
I actually got into it by accident. I was using it as a way to stay in shape for track and field. And lo and behold, after my first fight, it took over my whole life, and I ended up dropping out of university and everything to start Thai boxing.
Crazy. How did you do in the first fight?
I won. It was a knockout.
Well, you can't beat that. So tell us about your gym. Tell us about your trainer. If you want to talk about your good friend, world champion Shane Campbell, go ahead and give us a rundown about, what is the gym life like for you?
Well, definitely Shane Campbell, we played big parts in each other's careers because what happened, I was training at a different gym originally, Tiger Gym, out in Kingston, Ontario. That's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Hamilton, where Iron Tigers is, and that's where I had my first official Muay Thai fight, was with Iron Tigers Muay Thai in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And, my first experience with Shane Campbell, actually, was sparring, because I got in my first day, I was kind of, throwing my weight around, knocking people down and this and that, and he was getting ready for a fight, and our first, formal experience with each other, boom, was sparring, and we went, a good 5-6 rounds, just back and forth action, and been best friends ever since. Now, Iron Tigers is very good. It's Kurelin Halmagin. He's Romanian. He was a Romanian kickboxer himself, Romanian kickboxing champion. And he introduced me to a very different brand of Muay Thai, I studied a straight traditional, predominantly kicking, kneeing, and elbow type of Muay Thai, whereas he introduced a more European style where you add in a lot of punching combinations, right? So he definitely did a lot for my game, whereas, usually I'll just stand back and, use my teeth, clinch, elbow work, where, he rounded up my game where I became, a devastating puncher, a good kicker, just a well-rounded Muay Thai guy. So it was a very tough gym to train, because, at any one time you had me, Shane Campbell, Dave Hill, he was a pretty good Canadian kickboxer too, Will Romero, he's a good MMA guy, amazing kickboxer too. So at any one point in time, you'd have at least, one of the four guys, if not, all four of us in the gym training back and forth and sparring and working your clinch work and, your kicking, your blocking, all that. So we actually all just advanced at a very, steady pace and got better with time and, brought each other better. And, when I was much better at clinching and kicking and, as a result, Shane would get better at that and he'd be better at punching and, mm-hmm. Punching combinations and, it was just a very good mesh for everybody and everybody just got better back and forth. And before we knew it, he was fighting for North American titles, I was fighting for Canadian titles, he's fighting for world titles, and it was actually fun. It was a little bit surreal because, I remember one fight, I fought Lance Armstrong in California. I mean, for me, that's a guy I was watching his tapes and, kind of trying to mimic some of his moves, and boom, here I am fighting this guy, and that was probably one of the turning points of my career where I decided to make this, my life, and it's been that way ever since.
Crazy. Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. You mentioned that fight. Also, they've brought in a few other ties for you to go against. And I remember one time they brought in a stadium guy for you, and you knocked him out. It shocked everybody. You knocked him out in the first round. Could you tell us a little bit about what's it like for you when you go against, when they bring in some of the ties? And this guy wasn't, of course, he wasn't a Bukau or whatever, but he was a pretty solid fighter. So could you tell us about the experience of fighting some of the best ties? And what was it like for you? How was your preparation? What was the fight like?
Well, obviously, those guys are amazing fighters. I mean, they've been training from a very young, early age, and And, you know, their technique is amazing. Like, you know, talking about the traditional stuff, clenching elbows, knees, kick, the whole nine. Those guys, they put foot to ass, you know. So the preparation has to be just as hard, just as rigorous. And, you know, there's a lot of punching combinations, working straight punches, kick defense, working a clinch. I mean, you have to work everything with these guys. You know, they're not one tier of fighters. They can do everything, and they can do everything good. So it was a very rigorous training camp, and I'm talking, you know, two, three sessions a day of two and a half hours, you know, so all together in a day, you're putting down 6 to 7 hours of, you know, straight training. So it was very tough, but at the end of the day, you know, it paid off, because, I mean, Ole Filipino, at the time I fought him, he was rated in the top 10 in Lupini Stadium. And I didn't know that's who I was fighting, you know, like a week before, like I'm looking up his name and I throw it in the Google and boom, I'm like, holy shit. Terrible. Yeah, but it was a good fight. You know, I just stuck to the strategy, used the jabs. You know, I used the predominantly punching strategy because, I mean, the punching, the boxing is the weaker link, but, I mean, it's not really a weak link. It's, they're caught at it too, right? But I used predominantly my punching as a setup, my kicks. I got the punch, my kicks together, just punching combinations, jab, hook, right cross, kicks, and then punching combination, knocked them right out. It was a beautiful fight.
Nice. And as you said, you know, the ties are usually weaker in the hands because how they score fights over in Thailand. They don't score the punching as much as they score the kicks and the clinch. So usually if a Westerner is going to have success against them, they got to bring those hands. You've always had a lot of KO power. I remember, this is for people who don't, you know, the first time I met Makai, I actually met him because I was cornering a guy he was fighting, like a guy who I didn't know the guy until I got out to Edmonton, and they were like, well, I'm more of a boxing trainer. They asked if I could help him out. And Kai is such a nice guy that we were going out to eat. You wanted to go out to eat with us before the fight. Tell us about some of, you know, what you've got as far as the respect department goes, because even people who are friends or respect fighters, they have this mentality towards, okay, as soon as the fight's over with, I'll be their friend. That's not the case with you. We were going out to eat the day before the fight. You were like, yeah, I'll get in the car with you guys. I thought it was so funny. So just talk about some of your respect for the sport.
Well, it's after being in the sport for quite a while, you know, you kind of gain a new respect for anybody who's a legitimate fighter, you know, and you can kind of tell the difference, because, I mean, like any other industry that has, you know, as much hype and as much following as fighting does, there's a lot of posers, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
And when you meet, like, you know, a legitimate, you know, confident but calm and well-relaxed, well-put-together fighter, you kind of have a respect for the person, right? Like, I remember that fight was David Fuentes.
Yep.
Yeah, amazing. Like, you know, he's a very good fighter, but at the same time, he's earned his dues, and you can't, you know, I can't be mad at a guy like that, you know. At the same time, I don't have that malice towards somebody who hasn't wronged me. You know, most people, they just get, like, you know, angry and you know, we're gonna fight right now, but that's not what a fight's about. You know, fight for me is a test. It's like, you know, running a track and field competition and then laying next to the other guy. You know, I'm not going to be staring the guy next to me down and, you know, calling him all kinds of names and trying to, you know, shuck and jive with him. Like, it's a competition. We're trying to see who the better man is. And it's going to happen for that, you know, 15-minute time period. That's when we compete. Like, I'm not trying to win a staring contest before and win a cuss-out contest and win a shouting match and then lose the fight. You know, that's pointless. To me, I'm there to fight and showcase what I'm all about. So Dave, he's a nice guy, you know, cool guy. We met at the weigh-ins, had the whole stare-down, had the whole, like, face-off. And he was a nice guy, so I can't help but be nice to him, you know?
Okay. So let's, for anybody who's never seen you fight before, if they've never seen your stand-up fight, how would you explain it? You know, because me watching you compete, you're one of the strongest guys I've ever seen compete. Like, well, there was a point in the Flores fight where he was on top of you. He had got you down, and he had worked to your full, like, he got full mount on you, and you used one hand and literally pushed him off and stood up. Like, he had done so much. His only leverage to keep you on the ground was when he had you by the legs. But the moment he got on top of your chest, you just pushed him off with one hand. And then if anybody's ever seen you, like, throw punches before, it's like an explosion. Like, all of a sudden, you're going nice and calm, and then everything just, you know, comes as full speed. How would you explain your style and your fight style to people who have never seen you fight before?
It's a very exciting style. It's calm and relaxed. You know, most people, like you know, you get agitated, you get antsy, your muscles tense up, and you can't explode and you know, speed, you lose your reflexes. I'm just cool, calm, and relaxed. And it's a very explosive fight style, you know. Like, I don't waste any punches. When I'm throwing something, I'm throwing it at the right time so, you know, it gets full maximum effect. And even my punches, my kicks, my elbows, my knees, you know, each one is coming with 100% of me behind it, you know, so it's going to do damage. So, I mean, the best way to explain it, explosive and just fun, just fun, explosive.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go to, you know, this past weekend. We've got the China versus Canada card.
Yep.
As you look at the card in the whole, you become the split, you know, the splitting fight. Some of the earlier ones, the Chinese fighters were able to get a upper hand in some of the earlier fights. They split the women fights in a very good showing by both the Chinese woman who won the second fight and the Canadian woman who won the first fight. It was, the clinch knees that she put on the kicks. I believe her name is Jessica. That was an awesome, awesome display. And then it comes down to we get a couple of wins that leads into you being the tie-breaking fight. Does that pressure of that ever get to you at all? Were you thinking that if I win, China's defeated by Canada? Or were you just, let me just defeat my opponent? What was going through your head at that time?
A little bit of both, because that whole fight card actually was a follow-up to one they had in January. And the one they had in January, Team Canada had lost like a blowout, you know, on the card. They lost like 6-1, I think it was. You know, only one guy from Canada won. So the Chinese team was coming off a very good role for them, you know, and they were coming here with business. You know, they had bad intentions, those guys. And so for me, you know, I was pretty on a mission because that's the original China versus card, and it was a blowout, and I was like, why weren't, you know, some of the top fighters, you know, on this? And they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I called for this one, I was, you know, I had a vendetta to prove, you know, because when you represent like a country, you know, everybody just kind of puts the whole country stock on what they see, you know, not what they've seen before or after that. It's kind of like, oh, there was a Canadian guy, and he got blown up by a Chinese guy, and, you know, he just represents everybody. So for me, it was more of, you know, there's a lot more than just this fight riding on it. And, you know, I had to bring it home, and I did.
Nice. So explain the fight a little bit and the difficulties you had in the fight, because for people who haven't seen it before, if you've ever seen a Chinese fighter fight in K-1 rules or Muay Thai rules or whatever, almost all of them have a Sancho background, and almost all of them at some period of time in the fight are going to do a legal throw that's from their Sanchai background. Like, it's going to happen. Just go ahead and mentally prepare for it to happen, because they're going to do it. You know, I think the only person who doesn't do it is Chinese fighter Zhu Yan. He's probably their best fighter. He just fought this past weekend against Abdullah Mabel. But outside of that, most of them have a Sancho background. So if you look at the card, all night Canada fighters were just getting thrown with illegal throws. Some legal, but a lot of legal throws. How did you overcome that? And you know, you had some period of times where you started off slow in this fight, and then you had an explosion in the first round. Second round was more of an even keel, and then your clinch work and strength won the day in the end. But what about some of the dirty tactics you had to deal with? Because a lot of them happened to you.
Yeah, it was, they picked the rules wisely, because, you know, they took out the full rules, so you couldn't elbow in the face, you couldn't knee to the head, right?
Uh-huh.
So when they're shooting down for the takedown, you couldn't exactly hit the guy in the head, because that was against the rules. So if you did, you'd be DQ'd. So, you know, as soon as you start your punching combination, the guy's ducking under your punches and trying to go for a takedown, like single leg, double leg, whatever, because that's allowed in Sanchao.
Mm-hmm.
So the MMA background actually helped a little bit, because, you know, see that happen, whereas traditionally Thai guys, you know, nobody ever kind of shoots down for a takedown. So the MMA really helped. What I saw was, you know, you got to fight fire with fire. As soon as you started throwing out some takedowns, I came down with some more Thai shoes. You know, put him on the mat a little bit, evened out the field. But, you know, mine scored more because that was a legal Muay Thai technique. It was allowed, right? And it's very, like, and devastating leg kicks, you know, good punch combinations, and then clinch up, and then, you know, knees to the body, knees to the leg, and just kind of devastate the guy and tear him apart just piece by piece, and then come out with the win at the end.
Nice. So a quick question that correlates to your MMA background as well.
Yep.
After a Muay Thai fight, what would you say is harder as far as the fight goes? Because, you know, a lot of people ask me this question. I usually answer it like this. I usually say in MMA, there are more skills to learn, but the fighting is less on your body. Whereas in Muay Thai, the skills are different that you learn, but there's almost no way you can get out of a Muay Thai fight without feeling pain somewhere. Like, it's just not part of it. In your experience, you know, what would you say physically is the difference for you? You know, and it's not like some people think that MMA's got to be better, or Muay Thai's got to be better, or something like that. That's not the case with me at all. If you love combat sports, you love combat sports. But for you, physically, what would you say is, you know, tougher in your body, harder in your body, easier to learn, more difficult to learn? Like, in your experience, how did that go?
My experience is Muay Thai is definitely a lot harder to learn. It's a lot harder on your body, too, because what you can compare it to is giving someone, you know, one weapon to fight a whole war with, or giving them, you know, a whole plethora of weapons, you know, like, here's a handgun, go in a war, or, you know, here's a handgun, a bazooka, an assault rifle, or a grenade. MMA is kind of like that, you know, you have a lot of things. If you can't punch well, you can kind of just take it down to the ground and eke out a decision that way. You know, you have submissions to go to, you have a lot of things you can do. In other words, in Thai boxing, you can't take the guy down, you can't use any kind of submission techniques. You know, you have to stand there and you have to win it, punch, kicks, and knees. That is it, you know, and it's a lot harder on your body because, you know, you can't run the whole time because, you know, it's a small ring, you're going to get corners hurt. You know, you can't take the guy down, so even just moving, if you change levels too much, the guy's going to hold you down and knee you in the face. If you come too close without having a good defense, you're going to take a lot of elbows to the face and get cut up. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than MMA, and again, not because it's better or anything like that, yeah. But it's, you know, you have one thing to learn and one thing to do, you know, and it's not a multi-level sport. I mean, MMA, like, you have guys who cannot strike and win a number of fights.
Yes.
With Thai boxing, if you can't strike, you know, you won't even fight, you know, it's just striking, you know. So even, and again, MMA, you have guys who can't grapple who win fights because, you know, they have a good takedown defense and you just, you know, sprawl and brawl, like Chuck Liddell, amazing, you know. He was an amazing fighter, UFC champion, world champion. He was an amazing fighter, but, you know, as a wrestler, like as a takedown and grapple wrestler, you couldn't compare him to, let's say, Randy Couture or Tito Ortiz or any of those guys. But at the same time, you know, he stood like toe to toe with them and beat those guys, and they beat him too, and vice versa. Those guys were not as good strikers as him. They were nowhere near in the same league of striking. But because you have that one thing you're good at, you know, you can exploit that, and then you have more things to fall back on. Whereas in Muay Thai, like, all you have is Muay Thai. That's it.
Yeah.
It's way hard on your body. I mean, I've had Thai boxing fights, so I couldn't walk for 2 weeks afterwards. You know?
Yeah.
Walk, but I was duck walking, you know.
Yeah.
And my forearms are, like, swollen to shit. You know, my rib cage has got, like, shin marks and foot marks on it. You know, my eye socket is, like, you know, swollen near shut from taking a couple elbows. It's a much tougher sport, man. Much,
so let's talk about some of your heroes in the sport. Who are guys that you like to watch fight? Who are guys that you enjoy? Like, you know, if you were sit down and you're like, man, I'm going to watch my favorite fighters, name some of them off.
I'm more of an old school Thai boxing fan. You know, the new school is good, but I'm more of an old school. I'm talking the Ren Simpson and Ramon Decker and, you know, Danny Bill, those are my kind of favorite guys. Like, the old school, you know, tough, greedy fighters just kind of meet in the middle and bang it out so somebody wins. But new school, I mean, Buakaw is definitely a favorite. I mean, the guy's got amazing kicks, amazing knees, amazing clinch work. And he's one of those guys who, when first time he came into K-1, you know, he wasn't a good puncher at all. But
yeah.
He adapted to the game and he changed to fit the game. You know, got a couple things to kind of even it out, you know, because First year in K-1, he killed everybody with the clinch work, and then they kind of limited the clinch work. And, you know, he went back and, you know, went back to the drawing board and came back with, you know, devastating punching power and speed. And, you know, he was the fighter. So on the new school, like, Buakaw is definitely my hands-down favorite. But if you take it back to the old school, I'd have to go with Ryan Simpson, my favorite back in the day. Ryan Simpson, Danny Bill.
Yeah, Ryan Simpson, Danny Bill, legends of the game. If you guys never heard of it, for people who don't know, hit up YouTube. Go watch Ryan Simpson go against Raymond Dekkers. It even has, like, this little video where they show him going into the fight. It's just good stuff all around. Ryan Simpson, awesome career. One of the all-time greats. We're going to have him on this show. We'll definitely get a podcast with him for sure.
You have to. Most people don't even know. Those two fighters, Ryan Simpson and Danny Bill, they beat Raymond Dekkers, like in a day, both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Ray Simpson actually stopped him in that one fight when he had the double knockout, and then he stopped him with the ice with the cut over his eye. Like, they were amazing fighters, but they just never got as much popularity or as much media attention as Ramon Dekker. But those guys were amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And then Danny Bill, of course, went over. He's the first Frenchman to really go over to Thailand and have a lot of success. We're talking about like two all-time greats. Like, if you make a rush, you know, like almost a Rushmore of Muay Thai guys or whatever, if you go your top 10 and you go European top 10, those are some names that you got to be thinking about. Like, some people will exclude them because they didn't have the K1 success, because they didn't have a weight class for them in K1. But Ryan Simpson won the first ever shootboxing competition, like the tournament, like back in the 90s. So we're talking about one of the greats of all time. So,
great all time. And then he came back and beat Lam Sam Khan in Holland the one time when he showed. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing fighter, Ryan Simpson.
Amazing, amazing. So what is your future hold in both MMA? Of course, you've got an MMA fight coming up. Anything possible for Muay Thai kickboxing? I know this fight, you just took this last fight on short notice, but what's the future hold for Makai Morano?
Well, as far as Muay Thai goes, I'm always hoping to a Muay Thai fight. After taking this fight on short notice, I thought that I gave my Muay Thai a little bit of neglect. So I'm definitely going to have to step up my training both. But my next MMA fight is January 27th at MFC, and taking on Adam Lin, another rugged veteran, amazing striker, coming up a big win. That's going to be a tough fight. But now Muay Thai, I'm actually planning, I wanted to do a Thailand, but it didn't coincide well with my MFC fight. But after that, like, you know, hopefully I can get in a Thailand trip and actually have a couple of fights down there, you know, where it's just straight training for a month, you know, living in a Thai dorm and just the heat and just the grittiness. Hopefully that happens, and that'll be amazing if it does. But definitely keeping my options open for both.
For sure, for sure. Shout outs to all my friends in Thailand. I recommend it for everybody who goes. I went to Super Pro Samui, so shout out to Robbie Timmers. Definitely, Makai, if you're going out there, hit up the islands, hit up Koh Samui. Really enjoy your experience. Right now, the mainland's tough because of the flooding. But for people who don't know how crazy Bukau is, there's footage of Bukau training in the water in Thailand right now. Like, it's up to his knees and he's training. That guy's nuts. So I definitely recommend anybody in the world, get your full Muay Thai experience. You got to go to Thailand at least once. You don't have to go forever. Go for 2 weeks, but definitely go out there and give it a shot. So thank you again, Makai Morano, for the interview. I'm going to give you the stage now. Promote your fight. Promote your gym. Just give shout-outs to whoever you want, and this is your stage.
For sure. A big shout-out to my original Muay Thai gym, Tiger Gym. Iron Tigers with Kualin Hamajin out in Hamilton. I'm going to be out there like fall of December, getting ready for my fight in January. Out here, West Edmonton Knights Boxing. Those guys are amazing. Frankly, Muay Thai. Kyle Cardinal Sports Gym down here in Edmonton. I work some great jiu-jitsu ground game with those guys. Crystal Glass, one of my big sponsors, Crystal Glass, St. Pete Gentlemen's Club, Edmonton Rush, Badass Lacrosse Team out here in Edmonton, Diesel Ultra Lounge, one of the baddest nightclubs here in Edmonton, one of my sponsors too. Who else? My boy Shane Campbell, we've done a lot of training together. I mean, me and him go way back, you know, we've been training together. I looked at it, since 2006 I've been training with Shane Campbell, the past 5 years, eh? Like, we've come a long way, and he helped a lot for my last China-Canada versus China fight. He's always in my corner whenever it's possible. So big shout-out to that guy who gets ready to go on for the TUF 15 season, tryout.
Yep.
I know he's going to rock that. So if he gets on that, then he's just going to kill it.
Nice. Good stuff. Well, also, side note for people who don't know who Shane Campbell is, awesome fighter. Shane Campbell, when he's drunk, is one of the funniest dancers you will ever see in your entire life. So, just because after the MMA fight where I was there in Edmonton where I first met Makai, there was a club underneath. Now, I don't drink, but I just went down and I was hanging out with people. And Shane was already, you know, past it before I even got there. And this guy started dancing. He's one of the funniest people you'll ever be in your life. This guy's great. So, but
good night, yeah.
So thanks again, Makai, for the interview. And to all those people out there, go ahead and, you know, message me if there's another person out there that you want to know, if there's somebody from your area who you would like to get out there. I'll do our best to get them on the show and just keep pushing this Muay Thai thing. So thanks a lot, everybody.
All right.
Oh, go ahead and before we get you out of here, add the your Twitter handle, add the website.
Sure, for sure. My website, www.mukaimaromo.com. So it's MUKAIMAROMO.com. And then follow me on Twitter, African Assassin, one word. So it's at African with a K, AFRIKAN, Assassin, ASSASSIN.
Cool. All right. Peace, everybody.